Well, like you, I love to hear the word of a prophet. And I especially like to hear the word of a prophet without conditions. Now, there are times when God will say to you, and a prophet will say to you, if you do this, I will do that. And if you don't do this, guess what? I'm not going to do that. And I always listen when I hear a prophet prophesy, I always listen for conditions. I didn't hear any this morning. So that means this young man, God just gave him a promise. And he said, I'm going to make you to be. Reminds me of what he said to Abraham. When God called Abraham, he said, I am going to make you a father of nations. And God promised him, we all know, a son of promise. And we can read the story of Abraham and see that Abraham failed miserably many times. He lied. He did all kinds of things. But I want to tell you something. When God makes you a promise, you can take it to the bank. And like Abraham, when God gives us a promise, we're going to do everything we can possibly do in the natural to make that happen. And we're all going to produce Ishmaels. It's a natural thing. When God gives you a promise, you say, oh, and then you set out to make it happen. That's natural. But God has a son of promise. And God made a covenant with the seed of Abraham, which Paul tells us is Christ. Therefore, that covenant between God and Abraham was really not with Abraham, although Abraham participated in it. The promise was to the seed, which is Christ. Oh, I want you to get that. The promise that God gives to us is not a promise to Gary Sigler. He doesn't have anything for me. He doesn't. He says, you know what, Gary, you're good for one thing. Only one. There's only one thing you're good for, and that's to give yourself up unto death. But I have a promise, and I have a covenant with the seed, and I place that seed in you. Can you get this? God made a covenant with you. No, with the seed. Therefore, you better be careful, because we talk a lot about obedience, and the reason we want to become obedient people is so that the seed of God can swallow us up. But guess what? The natural person is not to be the obedient one unto Christ. In other words, Gary Sigler has nothing in himself of obedience to offer unto God. I may want to, and I want to try. I'll try with all my heart to fulfill what God has promised me. But guess what? I can't. But I need to find that out. And that's called Romans chapter 7. Have you ever experienced that? You need to find out you can't. But because you can't, that doesn't mean that God throws you on an ash heap. All it means is that, guess what? He will throw you into the fire of His presence. Then you'll burn. But the promise is to the seed. I want to talk a little bit this morning about the appearing of Christ. And probably in a little different aspect than what it's been tied in with before, but nevertheless, we all know the goal is the appearing of Christ. And Paul said something very interesting. He said, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. And he even says, today we don't even want to know Jesus Christ after the flesh. That we should know and learn to know every person by the Spirit. I want to read I picked this up because I didn't have all the, I couldn't remember all the verses, and I have them in this book. So I want to read a few verses on the appearing of Christ. And if you see me shaking, it's not because it's the anointing, it's I'm scared to death. But that's okay. No, just joking. I'm not scared. The flesh trembles. It always does. But that's okay too. In 2 Thessalonians 1:10, it says, He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe. Can you imagine? He is to be admired in you, sister. The God of heavens is to be admired in you. Can we see Christ in this sister? Well, it's pretty easy this week, isn't it? Pretty easy. But listen, you have to be, if you get around this sister on her job or in her home and amongst her family, you have to be able to look beyond sometimes what you see in the natural, and you still have to look in her and see Jesus. You have to admire that in her which He is. In Psalm 102:16, it says, When the Lord shall build up Zion, He shall appear in His glory. We know Zion is the city of God. And is He not beginning to appear in Zion? Anybody who's been here this week could never deny God is beginning to appear. The city of God, how long? I'm sure all of you are like me or you wouldn't be here. How long have we desired to see the beauty of Zion, the city of God? Colossians 3:4, When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. These are some verses that I have literally clung on to, sometimes without any hope, sometimes in despair, sometimes in utter depression. I've held on that there will come a day when I shall appear with Him in glory. Not because I've done anything in myself, but because God has covenanted with the seed. I have, and you have within us, the most precious essence of His being. And that is where that covenant stands. 1 John 3:2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. When you see Him as He is, you will be like Him. When you really see Him as He is, really see Him as He is, you will be like Him. Why? Because you'll see Him in humanity. And I want to take this one step further. You won't only see Him in Christians. You won't only see Him in the glorious church that is going to be manifested. You won't only see Him in Larry Randolph's and Dave Davis's, but you'll see Him in humanity. Mother Teresa today is taking a lot of flack from the Christian world, saying that she's trying to bring in a New Age gospel. But you know what Mother Teresa says? I saw a video of her once, and it brought some real change in my life. And it showed how she would go into the hospitals. And one illustration I remember so plainly, she walked into this hospital where there was the sick and the dying, and there was a guy laying in bed, and he was just, they said, he just shook. And he was just, oh, you could tell he was in so much agony. And this poor little lady about this high, she walked over to him and she laid her hands on his head and she just patted his head, and immediately the shaking stopped and the peace of God came to him. Oh, people, don't talk to me about New Age. If that's New Age, then I will be a part of the New Age to bring God to people. Don't misunderstand me. But we cannot take the principles of God. We cannot see someone who is so full of the love of God that they would go among lepers and they'd go among the filth of the world and hug them and love them. And she was asked, Sister Teresa, how can you do this? How can you go to the scum of the earth? How can you reach down in the pits of India and pick up the filth and hug them and cry and love them and pray for them? Her answer was this: because I see God in every person. And we have churches all across America today who are saying that's a New Age gospel, and I feel sorry for you. I feel so sorry for you. We know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. When you see Him as He is, you will be like Him. And we used to think, and I was even taught when I first went into Pentecost many years ago, that there's going to come a day when we'll all be raptured into the heavens and we'll look at Him, and when we look at Him, we'll be changed into His likeness. That's such a fallacy. I wish it was true. But you know, there's other verses. Like John said, beloved, you better abide in His anointing so that when He does appear, you won't fall on your face in shame before Him at His coming. The flyaway Christians, they better wake up. Zechariah 14:5, and ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains. For the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel, and ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah the king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. Sure, when Jesus comes, when He comes in His physical form in the heavens, guess what? You'll probably be right along His side. To the end, in 1 Thessalonians 3:13, that He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. So God's goal is to call out a people unto Himself, that He may, by the power of His Spirit, the drawing of His Spirit, the workings of His Spirit, work into that corporate group of people His life, His nature, and His character. That they may stand upon the earth, not as Baptists, Lutherans, Pentecostals, but that they may stand upon the earth as one new man to bring forth judgment unto righteousness. I literally weep in intercession when I see some of the things that are on television. For instance, not long ago, there is this concept that there's going to come a day when every believer will be suspended in the air for 7 years, and then God is going to pour out such anger and such wrath and such horrible tortures and judgments upon humanity. Now, I know that concept, I can't imagine. Listen, I have experienced the depths of the love of God. I have been into some of the heights of the love of God. And I cannot find a God who is so angry that He would want to pour out a vengeful wrath upon His people. Yes, the wrath of God is coming. Yes, judgment is being poured out. But you know, Jesus Himself tried to destroy that concept of an angry, vengeful God. He said, it has been written in your very own law. He did not deny the law of the Old Testament. He said, it has been written in your very own law. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I know what's there. But I say to you, you love your enemies. You do good to those who despitefully use you. I know what's written in your law. You would like me to take this prostitute and stone her. Christians all over the world today would like to stone prostitutes and homosexuals. We would like to get rid of the sin just like some of the other religions of the world. We'd like to see a cleansing take place. Well, you know what? That's our concept of God, so that's easy for us to accept. It's written in your very own law, but you better listen to me. You know, you run to the Scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life, but you won't come to me. Because when you do, I'm going to tell you some things, and I'm going to reveal to you a God and a Father heart of God that you've never had. And because it doesn't fit with what you've been taught in the past, because it doesn't fit with the law that you've received, you will reject the love of God. That's why you can't have the Logos in itself. You can take the Word of God and justify heinous, horrible crime with it. And people have done it, thinking they've done God a service. God is in the business of restoring humanity back to Himself. He has no concept in His thinking of destroying but uplifting. Yes, there is judgment. Yes, the fiery indignation and wrath of God is on the earth and is coming to the earth. But it is a righteous judgment. There's a verse in the Old Testament, and I have it there, I can look it up. But there's a verse in the Old Testament that says when He comes, and I can't quote it, but He says, I will take in account, when I bring judgment, I will take into account where a man was born. Well, what does that mean? It means He will take account where you were born. Were you born in India where you had no knowledge of God? Or were you born in America where you've had nothing but religion? And you've rejected not God. You have rejected. Listen, I rejected Christianity 20 years ago. But I didn't reject God. And I never would. Never. Yes, there's judgment. And yes, you need to fear God. Because when He appears, who can stand in His presence? When He appears, if you're full of greed, if you're full of backbiting, if you're full of envy, if you're full of jealousy, if you're full of competition, I feel sorry for you. Yes, you will be judged. And I guarantee you, you will pay to the very last farthing. But I can also guarantee you the covenant is with the seed of God, not with your human natural personality. That thing is going to fall into the ground and die. It's going to be consumed and to be burned up. And out of the rubble, out of the ash heap, out of the pain and the suffering that you may experience will rise the gold and the silver and the precious stones. You must realize that God is God. I heard something this morning, I don't remember, about the sovereignty of God. And even that's not understood. But I'll tell you what the sovereignty of God is. It means He is El Elyon. He is the Most High God. And if He has decided to place His seed within you, and He has decided to make you a son of His glory, if He has decided that there will come a day when you will manifest to the world His glory, guess what? It's going to happen. Say no to God all you want. Cause yourself such suffering and agony. I can't tell you. I could tell you. I know what hell is. I've been through hell. I know what it is to get into disobedience. I've been into disobedience to the uttermost. But I also know El Elyon, the Most High God. I know a Father who loves me so greatly that even I could turn my back upon Him. I could swear in the heavens. I could swear at God in the heavens. I could walk away and say, never again do I want anything to do with that God. But He is El Elyon. And He would say to me, Gary, I have a covenant. And you have nothing to do with the covenant of my seed that I've placed within you. And I say unto you that judgment will come. I'll throw you into such a fiery furnace. I'll cause so much whatever it takes. But I guarantee you I am your Father. And I love you with an everlasting love. And because I have the heart of a Father, and because I love you so dearly, I know how to make you submit. People, we have to let God be God. I can tell you, this is not a theory. God is God. I can't get away. I've tried. You know, if you really want to get away from God, and if it's really in your heart to go back into the world and to give up on God, you should do that. And then you'll find out what I'm telling you is the truth. He is El Elyon. He has called you. What do we do with these verses? He is the author, and He is the finisher. And it took me years to find that out. I had nobody that would tell me, Gary, be at ease. God will work it out. And we don't even like to hear that. But people, if the responsibility for the Christian life is on Gary Sigler, I'm in a whole lot of trouble. And so are you. The reason we have so many problems in the church is we have not understood the Father's heart. We have thought and we have been taught He loves us unconditionally, but yet there's that undermining that if you get into disobedience and you don't do exactly what He says, that even though He still loves you, He can't help you no more because your will violate His ability to help you. Again, I must say, if that is the truth, I wouldn't be standing here today. You have to realize God is your Redeemer. Jesus is your Redeemer. You want to know what the penalty for sin was? Read it in the Bible. Do you know who paid the penalty for sin? He bore the iniquity of us all. And with His stripes, we were healed. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He took it. Did He or didn't He? He took your judgment. And there's a word in the New Testament, and I'm not going to teach this morning. I'm just going to throw it out here, and I have loads of material I can refer you to on it. And it's that word eternal in Revelation that talks about eternal punishment. It's a word that's been grossly misinterpreted. I'm glad Larry shared what he did about the King James Bible, but I'm telling you, all of them have their errors. The word eternal has been mistranslated. There's words for eternal use, which is aeon and aeonious. And they mean a period of time or ages of time. There is no concept in the mind of God to throw somebody in an eternal torment, endless anguish of fiery indignation and wrath of God. That's not my Father. Now that's the God of Christians, and that's the God of the King James Bible and most translations. There are some translations who render those passages properly, and I can refer you to those translations. Is there a hell? Absolutely. And you're either going to experience it or you will. There's a passage in Revelation that says that liars, murderers, adulterers, fornicators, it lists all of these sins. It says all of them. You will have your part or a portion in the lake of fire. You better believe, Christian, you're going to be judged. But in that judgment, God will bring forth sons to His glory. You need to experience judgment now, and you will if you're not. I can't tell you how many years I sought after God with wrong concepts. I was told time and time again, because I've always been very honest and open, I would go to pastor after pastor and I'd say, I do this and I do that. And all I was told is, you know, you have a free will. It's your choice, Gary. And so if you're going to continue to do this, then I can't help you and neither can God. And that's why this country is in such a mess. Because there's a lot of Garys out there in the world who have tried religion, and it doesn't work. We don't all have strong characters and strong wills. We're not all able to whip our flesh into line and be righteous and good Christians. Not all of us can do that. And that's what you have out there. You have the survival of the fittest. I couldn't make it in religion. If I had not have been honest, I could. I'll never forget when I first experienced the Lord and I wanted to join a First Assembly of God church because it's the first one I went to after I was saved. The pastor gave me a card. And I'm sure many of you have seen this. And on the back of this card, it says, I promise now I won't dance, I won't smoke, I won't drink, I won't go to movies. Oh my God. I often tell people, do you know what Jesus would do today, brother, if he came on the scene? Do you know what he would do? I can see this so plainly, and all you religious devils can scream. I can see Jesus going down to the corner pub. I can see him pulling up a bar stool and ordering a cold beer. I can see him take a sip of that beer and turn to the guy next to him and say, you know what? This is good, but I've got something that's so much better. You say he wouldn't do that? I'll tell you what, I do that. And I never lose his presence. In fact, his presence becomes sweeter. Now, if you want to misinterpret that and say it's okay, you know, I know what the flesh does, but that's okay. If you want to get into the flesh and go to the bar and get drunk, go ahead. God will deal with that too. You see, we cannot withhold the truth because being afraid of what God's people will do with it. That's why the church is in darkness. I know pastors who know the truth that I preach and they will not preach it because they say, if I taught that to my church, I'd have chaos on my hands.
Amen.
That's because you don't know how to build them up. And you don't know how to minister by the Spirit. So you have to keep them in darkness to keep them. When we leave here this week, we can easily get the concept that this is a special time, and it is. And this was a special visitation, and it is. But now we have to go back to our jobs. In fact, somebody asked me the other day, can we keep this? This is wonderful, but what happens next week? Well, you know, I used to ask that same question. I've been going to these type of things for about 30 years. I used to go to 2 and 3 weeks at a time of these kinds of meetings and be in the glory and go back to work and immediately go into depression. My God, I got to face the world again. But you know what? There comes a day in your life when there are no more highs and lows. I'll tell you, at work, I walk into the dining room. You can ask my wife how people just love us there. They just love us. We don't preach to them. Now, I do hold meetings there on Sunday evenings, and any of them that want to can come up, you know, and listen. But I don't preach. And they just love us. But if I was typically religious, they would not like us. I can guarantee it, because I hear them talk about religious people. It cannot be what you say, folks. It's got to be what you are. We were talking yesterday in the car. We went downtown to get a coffee. And Dave and John and I and Marion and I don't know how the subject came up, but we were talking about messages. And I said, you know, God gives a man a message. And then he goes out. And it's just like the Ishmael and the Isaac thing. You get the message and you go out to give the message. And all you do is create chaos. When God gives you a message, it can take years because you have to become the message. And if you don't, the message that you give will not help anyone because you can't speak. People tell me all the time, you speak with such boldness. Why? Well, I believe what I'm saying. I know what I'm saying. I've heard God speak these things to me. And I've shared with those at LoveLink the things that I'm teaching today, God revealed to me 20 years ago, and I never taught them until about a year ago at LoveLink, the Lord released me to start teaching some of these things. I pastored a church for 3.5 years. If you go back and listen to all of my messages, you'll hear in seed form that which I'm teaching today, but I didn't have the liberty to bring it fully out. I can remember when I was saved, I wanted to be a pastor so bad. Oh, I told you the other day, when I was 11 years old, I told my mom I want to be a pastor. And I applied to the Lutheran Seminary because that's what we were. I wanted so bad to be a pastor because I always told my mom when I grow up, I'm not going to church. But see, my concept was if I become a pastor, then I can maybe bring some change to the Lutheran church. And that was my concept. But you know what? My family had no money to support me in that field, and they wouldn't accept me without finances, bless God, so I couldn't go to the seminary. But I wanted all my life, to work for God. But when God really called me into the ministry full time was to the church in Springfield, Oregon. And after years and years of prayer and seeking God and knowing that I had been called to the ministry, I knew it. I'll never forget the first time I walked on the property, the church property at Springs, and God spoke to me. I knew I was coming there. I had such a vision burnt within me of what God wanted to do in that place. And when I went there was about, I don't know, maybe 40 people. And I want you to know, you cannot believe the hell that my wife and I went through. I thought pastoring was going to be just the greatest thing in the world. We had folks tell us, we don't like your music. We don't like what you teach. They went just a little bit short of saying, we don't like you either. And you know what? And my wife can tell you, I never got angry. Honest to God, I never got angry. I didn't get upset. You know what I did? I went into my room and I fell to my face and I wept and I said, God, help me. I know what you've placed within me, God. Help me. Give me the expression. Because I know if these people, if I can have the expression and I can give them the understanding that you've given me, they're going to love the word. You see, people react against you because they don't understand. People rail against the gospel because they're in darkness. It's not because they're mean, and yes, they are, and they're hateful, yes, they are, but they're in darkness. They're in darkness. That's why people react the way they do. And we say because they react that way, and they're rejected. If every person, I know this is possible, but I can't imagine this being possible. If you... I say you, meaning generally speaking, the population of the world, if you would have a vision and experience the love of God that I experience, there is no way you would reject Him. People, again, are rejecting the concept of God that America has given them. I don't want that God either. I don't want a God that I have to be in fear all the time that there might come a day in my life. I might serve God for 20 years and I might hit a weak point and I might backslide, get into sin, never come out, die, and then have to face an eternal torment. I don't want that kind of a God. I want a God that I know is my Father. And that no matter what it takes, sure He may throw me into a fiery hell of His indignation, but it's going to be for correction. It's going to be for reproof. And it's going to be for my good. That's the only kind of God I know. I don't know that God of Christianity. I don't know who He is. And I know we get the concepts from the Bible. I know that. Like Jesus said, I know what your old law says. If somebody kills your brother, you just take them out and kill them. That's what the law said. But Jesus said, listen, something wrong with that concept. Brother, you saying the word was wrong? I will tell you this. Some of those concepts that were in the word were not godly concepts. I know what your word says. And I know there's even Christians who delight in the fact that there's people who are going to suffer eternally in agony and torment because they deserve it. There are Christians like that, and there are people like that because they think God is like that. And whatever you think God is like, you will feel justified in being. You need a much bigger God than that. You need a God who is able to save you to the uttermost. You need a God who is able to reach down in the depths of your despair and your disobedience. You need a God whose arm is not shortened, that he cannot save or that he cannot redeem. You need a God that can reach down and lift you up. Yes, a God who will correct you in his righteous indignation and wrath. But it will be because he loves you, not because he's angry with you. If we get an understanding of the heart and the love of our Father God, we'll turn this world upside down. And you who think that you are on the verge of being manifested as a son and daughter of God, if you do not understand these concepts in the heart of God, you will never be a manifested son of God until you get to know the heart of God. Until you realize he is not one who is vengefully angry, but he seeks only to do you good. Don't you need that kind of a God? I do. As much as I've sought after God, there's still things in my life that pop up occasionally that I haven't been able to fully deal with. I need a Savior. I need to know that the most... How do I want to say this? What God desires more than anything else, what he desires even more than your obedience, he desires a heart that seeks him. That's why I used to go out in the desert and I'd say, God, I don't have the will to serve you. And I didn't. I did and I didn't. You know what I mean. Yes, the church is coming out of the wilderness. But when we come out of the wilderness, we cannot come out with those old concepts that have kept us in there. We have to have another gospel than what we've had in the past. We have to. In fact, there's even a word in Revelation that talks about the angel flying, having the everlasting gospel to preach to the world. And believe it or not, it's the gospel that I'm beginning to declare to you in these days. And not only me, there's a group of men and women on the earth today you need to hear. Coming up out of the wilderness, and we're going to be a people, you and I, we're not going to have a critical eye for anyone. We're going to be able to see with eyes of the Spirit. And as I've shared before, we're going to be able to look in the eyes of a prostitute and say, there will come a day when you will shine forth in the glory of the Father because he has decreed it to be so. And when you learn the heart of God and you begin to speak words like that, you will find that the words that you speak will create and generate in the hearts of those you speak to. It's not a matter of their obedience. It's a matter of you understanding that you can speak to the seed of God and cause it to come forth. Do you realize you have the seed of God? Do you realize that? You have the seed of God? And I can guarantee you, brother, there will come that day when you will be so full of the love of God. You're not going to have to wait very long. You will be so full and so richly blessed. Not because you've been a good boy, because you understand and have revealed to you the love of God. And you know what? That'll make you a good boy if you're not. Or make you a good man or a woman. Does the word not say it's the love of God that leads you to repentance? It says in Revelation that men will see the judgments of God and they'll curse God. But when they see the loveliness of God, when they understand why the judgments are coming, they'll repent in sackcloth and ashes. Do you realize that Jesus said to a certain group of people, and you'll remember these words, he said, it'll be more tolerable on the day of judgment for Sodom and Gomorrah than it will be for you. Did he not say that? He said that in two different instances. It will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for Sodom and Gomorrah than it is for you. Could that possibly mean that Sodom and Gomorrah may have a chance? He said, if Sodom and Gomorrah had the knowledge that I'm giving to you, they would long ago have repented in sackcloth and ashes. So is God going to throw them into an eternal fiery hell because they did not have the knowledge that would have caused them to repent? I don't think so. You need to think about these things. If Sodom and Gomorrah had have had the information that I'm giving you, they would long ago, Jesus said, repented in sackcloth and ashes. So the reason they didn't repent was because of the darkness. They had not the knowledge of God that came through Jesus Christ. That's why it said the law was given by Moses. And Christians today still want to live by the law. Well, grace and truth came through Jesus. You know what? If you understand the concept of Father God, you will become the most obedient person through the love and the drawing attraction of His Spirit. I've been sharing for years the Christian life is effortless because it's His life. I used to get up every day in the morning and I'd say, oh God. But you know what? It is so natural for you to live the human life, is it not? It's natural. You don't have to get up in the morning and figure out how you're going to be human today. You don't have to do that. And when God begins to arise in you, you do not have to try to figure out how to live the godly life. You don't have to. Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And listen, everywhere that river flows brings life and healing and restoration. Do you have sin in your life? You can either fall under condemnation or you can seek God until the river begins to flow in you. But if you're under condemnation because the sin is there, if you feel that you're cut off from God because of your sin and your disobedience, you will never experience the flowing of His river. You must realize that no matter how far into sin you may go, no matter how much disobedience you get into, no matter how far away from God you may fall, if you can but just find within yourself the faintest cry, oh God, He will run to you. And out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And you know the Spirit is represented even in Genesis by the flowing of the river. And there's precious stones in that river, which simply means as the river flows, it causes stones to be transformed into precious gems. And that doesn't happen today. It doesn't happen tomorrow. It doesn't happen next year. Transformation takes an awful long time. And if you will realize that what you need is not condemnation for the way you are, you are what you are, and you cannot change that. But if you get into the river, if you learn how to release from the very essence of your being the flowing of His life, it will bring life. Not only to you, but to everyone that comes in your presence, you will bring life and healing and restoration. In the river of life was the precious stone. So all the years that I've sought after God, year after year, sometimes being in hopeless despair of ever becoming what God wanted me to be, all the time, though, that I was seeking after Him, unbeknownst to me, the river was flowing. Oh, there was times when I would experience the joy of God. We all experience it from time to time. But the river was flowing, and in the flowing of the river is the transformation process of the Spirit. And if you realize it is not your obedience, it is not your effort, but if you realize that through the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the flesh. And you only can do that in His presence. And again, if you have the concept that sin separates you and keeps you from His presence, you cannot be helped. But if you realize there is nothing in all of creation that can separate me from the love of God, there is nothing. No matter how great my sin and failure is, I but need to turn to my God with an honest heart and say, God, I need Your help. I need a Savior every day, Marian, every day. Every day I need salvation. And He's available to me every day. Every day. Every day. But Father, once again we ask for that fire of Your Spirit. Oh God, I am so thankful that You've changed the concept, at least my concept, of an angry, vengeful, wrathful God to one who is a Father who loves beyond all comprehension. And Father, I ask that each of us begin to more deeply experience that love of God. And Lord, as it is the Feast of Tabernacles, and as You so boldly declared on that last day, if any man thirst, let him come to Me. Lord, today we come to You and we're hungry and we're thirsty. And oh God, we say, let the river flow in Zion. Let God arise and let His enemies be scattered. And my friends, if the life of God never arises within you, your enemies will never be scattered. But oh, if the Son of Righteousness appears with healing in His wings, let God arise and His enemies be scattered. And in the presence of your enemies of anger and bitterness and resentment, in the very midst of those enemies that beset you and torment you, in the very presence of your enemies, there is a table spread out before you. And I say unto you that if you learn to turn unto Me in the midst of any situation and any trial, if you will but learn to turn to Me in the very midst of sin and depression and anger and hatefulness and bitterness, if you will but learn to turn and to cry out from deep within, oh God, oh God, oh God, I need You. Out of your innermost being will flow the transforming power of your God. So yes, I say, come unto Me, all ye that labor. Oh, some of my people have labored so strenuously to enter into My rest. But I say to you today, it is so easy to enter into My rest because all you have to do, listen, my people, all you have to do is to cease from your own works. That's all you have to do. And realize that I am El Elyon, the Most High God. And that I have a will, a plan, an intent, and a purpose for your life. And I say to you, because I have covenanted with that seed that is within you, I look far beyond your mind, your emotion, and your will. I look far beyond that natural person that you are, and I see deep within the center, the circumference of your being. And I see that seed of my life that I've placed there. And I say to you, the seed of my life shall come forth. The seed of my kingdom shall reproduce within you, and you shall manifest My glory unto this earth. Let it be so, Lord, and we thank You for it. Let's just remember to continuously seek God while we're here and go to Him with these concepts. You ask Him about His heart. You go to God and look Him in the face and ask Him if He could toss someone into a fiery, unending torment. Could God be just if a man has lived for 70 years and been the most vile sinner? Could God be just causing him to suffer eternal torment for 70 years of sin and disobedience? I don't think so. I don't know what I'm going to be teaching the next 2 or 3 days, but if we get into it, I can take you into the judgments of God and I can show you how He judges. And it's a righteous judgment. And you will all suffer the judgment of God, all of you. But it will be for your benefit and for His glory.
This concludes this message. For additional tape copies or for more information, you may write Sigler Ministries, that's S like Sam, I-G-L-E-R, P.O. Box 26695, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 27114. Or you may telephone us at area code 336-775-4930. Our web address is www.sigler.org. Our email address is orders@sigler.org. All of our tapes are distributed at no charge as finances permit. These messages may not be sold, but you may duplicate them freely for distribution. Many have asked us where to obtain the beautiful music at the end of our tapes. You may write Linda Musgrove, that's M-U-S-G-R-O-V-E, P.O. Box 111, Cunningham, Texas 75434 for information concerning her music.
True identity. I'm real.